This is the Ring of Honor, aka Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
What up, though? It's another Tuesday. We are back here. It's Knockouts and Three Counts. I'm still breathing. He's still breathing. And our guest tonight is back in the win column, Mr. Josh Fremd. How you doing, brother, man?
Man, I'm doing awesome. It's great to be back talking to you boys.
Hey, man. Likewise, brother, man. Well, before we get into the business at hand, man, go ahead and throw out any social media or any of that kind of good stuff.
Before we get that far, somebody's going to echo. It's going to drive the fans nuts. I don't know if you guys can hear it. So,
I don't think it's me.
Is it fixed now?
Testing, testing, 1, 2. Sounds good on
my end. Yeah, you're good. You're good. I'll fix it in the post. We're making it do. But go ahead, throw them social medias out and let everybody know where they can find you at.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Josh Fremd MMA, Josh Fremd on Twitter, and if you still use Facebook, Josh Fremd.
All right, man. Well, first and foremost, before we get going, I got to give a shout out to the listeners of the podcast here because, I mean, most likely I know a lot of you probably downloaded last Thursday's episode because it was Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch. I mean, why the fuck wouldn't you? But at the same time, we appreciate you because just in today alone, we have had 100 plus downloads in just today. So keep doing it. If you leave them reviews, leave them out. I will read them here on the show, but we appreciate you. So with that being said, you had quite the weekend, huh?
It was a pretty fun weekend, yeah.
Well, let's talk about it, dude. So, I mean, everybody knows that you had a rough outing in your last one, and you got another chance here to go in this fight and go right back to the main event again. So, first of all, let's talk a little bit about that. Obviously, that wasn't the result you wanted in the last fight. So, as you come right back in and for them to automatically put you right back into the main event, did it add any more extra pressure or change, like, your mindset for this fight?
No, I wouldn't say that it was no pressure, no added anything that I needed to do. Excuse me. It was really cool, actually. I found out that I was the main event from a really close friend of the sport, you know, and it was between me and another Colorado guy, and I'm not a Colorado guy. I'm a transplant, if you will. So it's cool that I got the nod to be the main event, and yeah, I just wanted to go out and put on a show, put on a performance, and kind of redeem myself from my last fight because, it was a rough outing. I thought I was doing well, and sometimes it just doesn't go the way you want it.
Yeah. I mean, to that point, it was going well, I thought. And it's, you know, nothing to take away from you. It was going well until it wasn't, and that's the fight game, unfortunately. One thing I guess we can branch off of that, do you take any solace in seeing Gregory Rodriguez do as well as he has since he has made his way into the UFC?
Yes, 100%. Because like I say to a lot of people, you're going to lose in this sport, unless you're Khabib or whatever. But like most likely you're going to lose in this sport. And you just hope that your losses don't come to bums who like quit or go on a big losing streak. Or just, you know, you don't want to have those type of losses.
Yeah.
And see Gregory going out and winning in devastating fashion and winning $50,000 bonuses, like, that kind of makes me feel really good because I still feel like that fight, if we ran it back again, it's a 50-50 shot every time we fight. Like, I might get him, he might get me again. So, all props to him. It shows what a competitor he is. He went from his loss on the Contender Series, switched camps, changed his life and focused even more, and now you see the trajectory that he's on. So as a fan of MMA, not only just a competitor of MMA, like, I like seeing that. So that's really, you know, motivational to me. Like, I can do that. So props to him.
Yeah, it really shows the level, like you said, to the level that you're at, because you were not only competitive, you were definitely winning a lot of aspects of that fight yet again until it, you know, wasn't. But it really does show, like you said, him being able to win the performance bonus just this last weekend. He looked really great, and I feel like anytime, like you say, you have your opponent show that they're have their worth once they get a victory over you, it really does help kind of solidify your record, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
go ahead. No, go ahead. My bad.
Just cause like I know my first professional loss, he's continued to fight, I believe, hasn't had the greatest record after I lost to him. So that one kind of like stings a little bit, cause I know that loss was more on myself than anything, like just my discipline and my diet and just a lot of things mentally with that fight. But losing to Gregory, like I said, like I can't hold anything against him. The dude's a great dude, like a good human being, a great competitor. So yeah, I want him to keep winning.
Yeah, it's got to be an extra layer of sting for sure if somebody gets lucky on you. You know, that would be the way I would try to describe that, I guess, is like if somebody got lucky on me, it would suck, you know?
Yeah.
If you outskilled me, if I stubbed my toe on the night, it is what it is, but I don't want somebody getting lucky off, you know?
Yeah.
All I was trying to say here is shout out to the homie Weed Guy, bro. We appreciate you, Weedy. What's good, brother man? Like I say, I like I said, you going into this fight, I knew, you know, it would have to be a little bit of a mental thing, but dude, you came in there and banged. I guess the next question off of that, I guess, better than any, is how do you feel about the way the fight went, in the fact that you're bouncing back off a loss and then you go into a fight like that where you're in a war where you both got dropped in the same round in the second round? So what were your thoughts, you know, in that round? Like, what are your thoughts on that round watching it back?
You know, I really wasn't, everyone does mention like being scared, getting back in there and like, especially getting technically knocked out, whatnot. And you kind of wonder, you have a little self-doubt, like, you know, is my chin really there or whatever? But I know the mistakes I made, and I wasn't scared of getting knocked out, because honestly, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen, shit, been there, done that. It wasn't that bad, but
I hear you.
I wanted to get back in there and I wanted to fight. I didn't care. Honestly, obviously I wanted to win, but like, I didn't care about the outcome. I just wanted to be in that cage again, because it's not baseball. It's not football. You don't have the next week or the next day to go out and compete again. Like, I had to sit on that for goddamn almost 6 months, 7 months. I just had to sit with that sour taste in my mouth, and to be able to go out and fight again was awesome. And when he did clip me, it was the first round, and I dropped him with a jab, and then towards the end of the round, last 15 seconds, he caught me.
Okay, I got my rounds mixed up, my bad.
No worries. And then at the end of like 15 seconds left, he caught me with that left hook when I threw a naked leg kick again. I'm so mad about it. And my butt hit the ground, and as soon as my butt hit the ground, in my head, I'm like, no, this is not happening. This is not happening again. And I shot in, and then I realized, like, I'm still here. I'm still awake. I'm fine. And I was trying to hold his hands because I could hear his corner yell, push away and kick, push away and kick. So I tried to sneak an elbow up there before he could do it, and then the bell rang. But, nah, I wasn't. I explained to my corner, like, it didn't shake me. I wasn't, like, I didn't need any cobwebs. This fight was honestly, out of all the fights I've ever had, I have never been so focused in a 15-minute span. I guess 17, 18 minutes, including the round breaks. But, like, I went back to my corner immediately. My teammate was asking me if I could understand. I said, no, I'm fine. Like, I can repeat word for word what they said to me. I was so dialed in that night.
Well, that leads into something else that I wanted to talk about, you know, in watching that card. You know, I mean, you're training out at Factory X now. I mean, that whole card was packed with Factory X guys. So Did that help any with it being maybe a more tougher, you know, training camp with all of you guys being in there? You know, did it give you kind of any extra confidence with any of you guys being on there? And to everybody that's joining the stream, drop a comment, let us know where you're watching from, all that good stuff. But how did all that camaraderie help you in the fight?
I mean, it was honestly at first a little nerve-wracking because I'm, like I said, I'm a fan of the sport before I even started fighting. And I know how good my teammates are because I train with them every day. And having hammers like Jacoby Jones and Harris Tolunzik, like those guys are just going to be so good. The more, like the longer they go, it's going to be dangerous for people. So it was more of like, well, shit, I got to perform because if I go out there and I lay a goose egg and they're out here just knocking fools out, finishing fights, looking good, like I got to go perform, you know, like I got to be the big dog and go perform. And then, like, as it got closer and we were training and shaking everything out, we cut weight together. It kind of, like, the confidence, that just rubs off on each other. And it feels like we're just a gang or a group of warriors going to battle. And it did. I fed off, honestly, the confidence that Harris walks around with. Like, it just, it feeds all you. People can feed off of it if you really let it happen. You can feed off of that energy. And it was honestly a great night, man, to have all of our teammates, and of course, not all of our teammates won. Unfortunately, Lorvik and Jovan lost, but they were in great fights. It was a fun fight. Both of them were fun to watch, and those guys have a bright future ahead of them. But it was a really cool aspect to finally be able to fight not only in front of the Colorado crowd, but to have my teammates there who I train and sweat and bleed every day with. To just, we're all going out for a singular goal. And it was just fun.
Okay. I could imagine to put an analogy to it. It's like you're playing 2K or something. It's like it builds the team chemistry up to 99. You know, it just keeps leveling up the team chemistry, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And Factor X already has a great culture out here. We're all brothers. We all look out for each other. We hold each other accountable. So, yeah, I think it went up big time.
I could definitely
go ahead.
I could only imagine with, like you say, just the weight training and or weight cutting and everything that leads into fight week, just as much as, you know, actually performing on the night and stuff and having each other's back. I mean, you had spoke to, you know, your corner and everything. They did an amazing job and stuff too. It's like just the whole encompassing from everybody performing to not even the athletes that were performing, just all the training partners and stuff like that, that you guys all had in the training rooms and stuff like that. It's just a huge deal, I could imagine, for Factory X as a whole.
Oh, yeah. And I've got to have Dustin Jacoby and Yusuf Zala in my corner this time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I trust those guys wholeheartedly. I look up to DJ a ton. You know, he's been there, done that. He's a vet. He knows all the right things to say, all the right things to do. And even in training, when in sparring rounds, like when I'm not getting my ass beat by him and he's outside, like he's given me perfect directions, easily understandable. So having him in my corner, just, I felt at ease because it was like a video game. I could just listen. And then whatever he says, I honestly just do because I have that much faith in what he's saying.
I mean, that's something special that not a lot of people understand, man. Like when you can be like on that same role with your coach, man, that's when some really cool stuff can happen. And I mean, with you guys having a coach like Mark Montoya and them out there, man, you guys are killing it, bro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not really a much better place for you to be around. I mean, we were just talking about that before we went on the air. I mean, out there in Colorado, I mean, you guys have got like a fucking few gyms that are a room full of killers, bro. I mean, you guys, there's Trevor Whitman. I mean, you guys have got Elevation, who was on that card. I mean, what is it like to be out there training in Colorado? And I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the last show, which if you guys are new here, make sure you hit that subscribe button, check us out, hit that like button, and make sure you go check that out too. But with that being said, man, what is it about Colorado, do you think, that's pumping out such good fighters? Do you think it's the Elevation or what? Because it seems like you guys are becoming one of the hotbeds for MMA.
Well, Yeah, I mean, the elevation is a really cool added bonus out here, you know, because when I go home or I go anywhere else, I feel like a robot. I can go for forever. But for me personally, because I had a choice between Florida, I trained at it wasn't Stanford at the time. It was Hard Knocks or whatever at the time. Mm-hmm. But if I had a chance to go to Florida when I wanted to move after my last professional fight in Pittsburgh, I even wanted to go to L.A., Black House. I just fought a guy from Black House. I always wanted to check that out. And I gave Colorado a chance because I had a buddy out here. And honestly, dude, after 2 weeks, I just fell in love with it. Like, Mark Montoya, especially Factory X. Like, I haven't been to any of the other gyms. I haven't been to Elevation. I know a couple guys who train there, and they're really cool guys. They're really fun to talk to. But I've never been there. And the only really place I've stuck to as far as fighting MMA-wise is Factory X. And it's honestly because of Mark Montoya and the coaching staff we have there. The culture, the expectations, the standard, you know, you're working every day with people who just want to make this their career. We, like, a lot of people in the gym, this is their job. This is their career. They're here 1, 2, 3 times a day. We're all trying to get better. We're doing extra sets of drills, extra different things, little tiny things that people don't think about. And that's what really drew me into it, because when I was back in Pittsburgh at the time, the gyms that I was going to, it was like a weird kind of meshing. You had to like call people, hey, are you doing this today? Hey, are you doing that today? So every day it was up in the air of like, what type of training am I going to get today? But out in Factory X, there is no... If you don't know what you're doing, then you probably shouldn't be here, because there's an expectation Monday through Saturday, you're getting work in, you're getting your privates in, you're in at classes, you're in at team practice, and everyone treats it like their job. And that's what made me fall in love with it.
Well, that's a huge difference between like hired coaching and stuff like that, where that as well as the coach's full-time gig and stuff. So
yeah,
they're fully invested just as much as you guys are as athletes. So I feel like that makes a huge difference in that regard.
Yeah. And you love when you see, cause I definitely see it perfectly. Like Coach Mark, Coach Scotty, Coach Danny, like everyone who's there, they love what they do. They come in every day with notes on their phone. They're up all night, the night before, the week before, planning out practices, planning, you know, movements and things that we as a whole need to work on or individually. So I love coaches who take this as serious as they do.
I mean, that extra attention to detail clearly is one of the things that's making Factory X the spot that it is. With that being said, and you know, this fight going the way it did, man, I mean, what's next for you? Do you see yourself fighting for the LFA again? Like, are you trying to fight a contender series fight? Like, what's, you know, what do you think's next for you on the agenda?
Well, like I said on the fight afterwards, I know Dana White's going to be here on November 12th, November 14th, one of those days, to Fury Card. A bunch of my teammates are fighting on here. And hey, maybe we and Dana can roll up a little white paper. We can sit. We can watch my teammates just wreck shop. Maybe we talk about me filling in a short notice fight if someone gets pulled, someone gets hurt. I don't know. I think that my next move, if it's not the UFC, it's the LFA title again, because I have a sour taste in my mouth about it, and I really want to put that on my mantle. I really want that achievement, just as a personal goal for myself. So if it's not the UFC, I think the contender series is almost done and they're almost like going to be out of season. So I don't really put too much stock in that right now. And I'm not waiting until next season to get on it. So right. It's either I get called up on a short notice fight or I fight for the LFA belt again, which either one works for me.
Now
I like it, dude, because getting that LFA belt on a mantle, dude, is a good thing to have as you come out of a, you know, as not out of a, out of the regionals up to, you know, UFC. I mean, to be able to say like, look, I've done it at the regional level. I've done it, you know, here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a good thing to have. And I mean, LFA, I mean, outside of, you know, the UFC and stuff like UFC and Bellator, I mean, as far as feeder organizations, I mean, it's unarguable at this point, other than maybe a CFFC. They're probably the biggest way you're getting into the UFC at this point, outside of just getting spotted.
Yeah. And it's just a vision that I have. Like I have an amateur belt. I have a professional belt from Pittsburgh, so that's like a local belt. I want that LFA regional belt. And then one day I want that UFC belt so I can sit back when I'm an old dusty man and just look and be like, yeah, I did that. That was my goal. I set out to do it and I did it.
Yeah. I mean, to the point that you guys had made about like a lot of the regional and stuff like that, you could LFA in my eyes, like you had said with CFFC, those two are like the two high end. You could call those like the AAA of, you know, the farm league or whatever you would want to call that. Like that's the nearest step you can get to one of the professional leagues. And to be on this, to have the success that you've had under the LFA banner, I know a lot of these upper end promotions are, you know, taking an eye at that. I'm absolutely sure of that. With that being said, would you ever have any interest in competing in a Bellator or a PFL if they were to start ringing the phone?
No.
I fought for Bellator my second professional fight. It was just it was a cool thing. They were coming to Penn State and they had enough money for another professional fight. And, you know, I got lucky enough. They put me on there. I went out. I finished the fight. They threw the check to me and they were like, all right, deuces. So I never got a call, never got anything from them. And they're a great organization. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Bellator is great. I had a great time. I have a bunch of friends who are fighting in Bellator. So there's no disrespect. It's just me personally, my goal is the UFC. UFC or bust. I don't want Bellator right now. I don't want PFL right now. Maybe later on after I lose a couple more fights. But in my mind, it's just the UFC and that's it.
I can respect that, dude. I mean, that's unarguably where the top competition's at. Well, let's take it away from the cage for a second. You know, I mean, I see when I look outside of when I look at your social medias and all that good stuff, I always am seeing you behind a microphone just like the one that I'm behind, too. So tell me a little bit about that, bro.
Oh, man, that was, again, another stroke of luck. So my buddy Jordan Kurtz, who runs Comments from the Peanut Gallery, him and Ron Kruk, who is a native of Colorado and is a commentator on LFA, they have a weekly sports radio show. Well, handsome Ron Kruk is getting too famous for us little guys now, and he's going off and he has bare knuckle fight promotion. He's commentating for them. He's doing just a bunch of amazing stuff. He's running a fight out here, a promotion out here now for a private event with a bunch of oil big rigs. Like, the dude's doing his thing. So they needed someone to fill in for a little bit, and I raised my hand because, honestly, it was out of my comfort zone. If you knew me on, like, a personal level on a day-to-day, I'm not a talker. It's really hard for me to, like, get words going. I'm real quiet. I'm real reserved. So I thought it would be a good idea to just put myself out there and see if I could, you know, do it. And Kurtzy has been nothing but great to me and giving me the opportunity and teaching me and, like, showing me the ropes along the way. And now that I've been doing it for almost 2 months now, I want to say, I got to go commentate a fight with him. Like, it's really fun and I enjoy it.
Same here, bro. Like I said, it's like that last week, you know, we were talking about that, which shout out to all the new listeners and whatever you want to call it, watchers, listeners, however you're consuming it. I know a lot of you guys watched this last week for the first time with Five Finger Death Punches, Chris Kale. I mean, just like you said with that, dude, like getting to go do the commentary stuff and all that, like, the little things you notch off on the way. Like, I just got into commentary myself. I'm actually going to be doing commentary for my college's wrestling team, where I went to college at and stuff. And, you know, per the boss, you might be hearing a familiar voice the next time we're at BCWA. So stay tuned. But like I said, I enjoy it, dude. Cause I think for me, I think the thing that's cool about like commentary and stuff like that is like, the fact that you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, and then you just, to me, I feel like the best commentators are the ones who can just react, that have the knowledge to be able to articulate it and make it sound more interesting, but at the same time are able to react and know, like, okay, that's a double leg, that's a single leg, that's whatever, you know what I mean? Like, not like robotically, but to be able to react and have, here's my genuine reaction, but have knowledge enough to be able to be like, you know, whatever it is. So it's no surprise. Go ahead.
I was just saying, portraying accurate information.
Right. And that's why I think somebody like you would do great at something like that. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all with that stuff. Well, let's talk about, you mentioned BKFC. And for any BKFC fans, if you guys saw Mark the Shark Irwin and doing his push-ups when he knocked old boy out last week, stay tuned. You might be seeing him coming to a podcast near you. Like I said, man, give me your thoughts on this bare knuckle stuff, man. We're seeing more and more guys going over there. Have you gotten to watch much of it? And if so, what do you think?
I mean, I'll be for real with you. The only time I watch bare knuckle is when Rachel Oshovich fought. But I'm
not mad at it, though.
I did see that. Well, one of my favorite fighters, Mike Perry, he just signed with bare knuckle. So
there you go.
I'll be tuning in to watch Platinum fight for sure. I mean, I've seen.
How do you think he does?
Oh, I think he goes out there and destroys people. I mean, if he gets set up with like a really nice boxer, which I don't think someone who's a really legitimate good boxer is going to go into that where they can make real money. But I think Mike Perry's going to do amazing. I mean, he's a freaking brute. It looks cool. It's definitely something that, I mean, it has the title now of where that's where all the old people go who's past their prime, whatever that may be. I don't really know. I don't put too much stock into it. But I don't know. If they're going to pay you $100 million, shit, I'll go fight in bare knuckle. Like, it's not really – it doesn't look the greatest to get punched bare knuckle, but, I mean, I used to fight when I was a kid with no gloves, so – they throw me enough money, maybe I'll go.
I mean, and the one thing that's cool with them, though, is, like, I don't know if you've heard, they're, like, the first organization that's offering, like, pensions for guys, too. Like, they're offering guys, if you fight, like, so many fights with them, they're giving out, like, pensions and shit.
That's a good wording there. I'm not sure there has to be an asterisk there. Like, you must fight and win, like, 72 fights with us before.
Well, no, it's not. They said it didn't matter on wins, but they said it just, like, there were different tiers as to how much money that, like.
I think it was anybody that had over 4 fights with the company.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, a huge number. It was,
of pension.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't like a certain fight thing. It was just more, like, based upon how many fights you have, that'll determine, like, how big of a pension you got, which I can respect that, because that would make sense why a guy who's had, like, I don't know, however many fights you want to say under the banner and has been there for a while, I could see why you would want to give that guy a little bit more money, because shit, if you fight that many of those fights, you end up getting busted up. But I mean, then again, our buddy Josh Burns has been fighting them over there in England and everything else, and now he's getting ready to fight for the heavyweight title for them. So who the hell knows? Yeah.
Especially the guys this early in the, especially the BKFC, because they're kind of the ones at the forefront, right? Like, they've been the ones with the famous signings, like you noted, Mike Perry. They got Chad Mendes, Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich. They're doing a decent job for people that, like me, that are fight degenerates and watch everything. They've been doing a decent job of building up a couple younger talents, like a Taylor Starling and stuff like that. They've done a good job of that. That being said, it really does help with building their promotion with the pension and stuff like that, because all these guys that are kind of putting their face on the line and their knuckles on the line are the ones that are going to help BKFC if they ever do want to become some type of household name or anything like that. They're the ones really doing it. Like, the president, Dave Feldman, and stuff's doing a good job of doing what he can to kind of spread the message in a decent way, I guess you could say. But it's really the athletes that are going out there performing that are going to build your fan base and get you any type of loyalty going. So props to them for doing what they can to at least try to make the best of the fight game, which isn't always the best out there, especially for up and coming promotions like a BKFC or something like that.
Definitely, man. Well, we're definitely going to have to see what happens with them. Like I said, we'll probably see Josh Burns back on here soon before he gets his fight for the belt. That brings me to a good point. So we talked about Mike Perry getting signed to BKFC, though. I want to know your thoughts as a fighter, because I've already given my thoughts on this, because I think, is in my opinion, being a fellow fighter myself, I feel like it's one of the biggest disrespects that you can do. I want to know what your thoughts are on this whole thing with Costa and Vettori.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you don't make weight, that's disrespectful. Man, I think you're lazy. And you.
He looked like he didn't even try, though.
But, I mean, we're in the early stages still, technically, of the UFC still, too. It's only 28 years old. And the way Costa looks, the way Costa performs, he has a bunch of money and a bunch of people behind him. So what does he care? And I mean, I don't think Marvin did himself any favors by moving the weight class up. Like, I would have been like, shit, get as close as you can to 185. And then whatever you don't make, I'm taking your money from. Like, I don't think he did himself any favors financially, because now Costa's saying, oh, we made 205. Like, there's no point in taking my money. Nah, not me, son. I'm getting that money. Like, you're gonna
miss. No point taking money, even at that. Like, if I'm not mistaken, the rule is 1 to 3, it's 20%. If you go over 5, it's supposed to be 30%. Well, even if we go to the 195,
what about 20 pounds?
That's what I'm saying, though. That's my point. So if we're going by that metric system, I mean, shit, even at 195, he was at 10. So that should have at least been 30. So how the hell did we end up where all he got was 20%? I'm over here. I thought he should have got at least like 40%.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he should have made that a point. And I know, I know, like, depending on commissions, like, some people are like, oh, if the weight's too big of a discrepancy, then we'll cancel the fight, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have cared. No, I'll make 185. I'll be straight. Let's see you try and make it. And if you can't, that's fine. But you're going to give me 40, 50% of your purse.
Yeah. Well, how much faith do you put in the whole Vettori's now kind of like the promotional good guy? He's got Dana on his side talking about how great he is to work with because he took the fight and was – just a pleasure to work with and stuff. Do you think that's going to actually help him at all throughout his career now that he's kind of in the UFC's good graces?
Yeah, shit, I do.
Yeah. It's all politics, man. If you take care of someone, if you do like what, because Marvin didn't have to take that fight. He said no, but he did. And obviously he kind of has to say yes, because he's still trying to get back to the title shot again or get closer. Mm-hmm. So if he said no and he ended up not fighting Costa, then he kind of falls back and falls to the wayside. So, yeah, he kind of did them a favor. So it's all a game. You got to play the game. And since he did a favor for Dana, later on down the road, maybe Dana will do a favor for him. You know, what if he goes on a 4-5-5 losing streak? Dana will probably keep him around, give him another contract because he helped that one time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and we don't know that he didn't hook him up on the back end, too, because that's the thing. Like, people act like people don't like want to talk about the fact that a lot of times there's a lot of back end money that comes in. Now, I'm not saying that I still don't hope that eventually we get a little bit higher pay for fighters and things. But at the same time, I mean, I do know for a fact that there's a lot of like back end money that comes too. So for all we know, he could have gotten gotten the golden ticket check that came along with his fight purse check. So, yeah. I mean, that's a thought too. So,
I hope he did. I really do hope he did, just in a general sense. Like, you went out there and completely changed the whole contract. You wrote down on a contract that this is what we're doing. And he broke it, and you went out and did the best you could, and you won the fight. So I hope he did get paid.
And that's another very important aspect that I feel like in all of that needs to be brought up too, is not only did he do everything to make the fight happen with somebody who was significantly bigger than him in the cage that night, and looked it, like you could see it between the two of them. Costa just looked more solid, was able to hit those leg kicks, head kicks, just his kicks were just insane that night because of, I feel like, the extra weight. And for him to still be able to gut wrench out a win in that fight and really honestly look impressive over Costa, in my opinion, it says a lot for Marvin Vettori. For anybody who may have doubted or anything like that coming off the loss to Izzy, I feel like he definitely did a very good show.
And here's something to think about too, Corey. Here's something to think about off of what you just said, though. Like, just like Josh was just saying, though. I mean, if you really look at the landscape at 185 in the UFC right now, it's not like there's a real clear-cut person for Izzy to fight next. Now, although we already know that Vettori lost to him, if they've got to get a fight together for Izzy and somebody falls through, I wouldn't be shocked that Vettori somehow manages to slide his way back in there after something like that, because that's the other thing to talk about. With a few of the weight classes in the UFC, there's not as much depth as there was at one point, whether it be because of injuries or whatever fights are already booked. So, I mean, that's something in and of itself to, you know, note when it comes at least to the whole Vettori situation.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumblings while you bring up Izzy. February, him and Robert Whittaker is supposed to be in the works. So, you know, usually when it makes it that far into the media, it's unless somebody gets injured or something like that, that's kind of what we're looking at. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you can't really hop over Robert Whittaker at this point, but
yeah.
You know, you mentioned the last time you were on the show with us that you were a wrestling fan when you were younger. So I got to know, what do you think about Paige VanZant and Masvidal? And did you see Junior Dos Santos's big debut, bro?
Yeah, I didn't watch it like on TV. But funny thing, one of my good friends who is at American Top Team, we came up together in Pittsburgh, Dalton Rosta. He was out there freaking slamming Jericho and like, yeah, all those American Top Team guys are out in the wrestling scene now. And I mean, I think it's kind of cool. Yeah, that's dope.
I agree, dude. I think Paige is a natural for that shit.
Oh yeah.
it's a great way for MMA fighters to get exposure to non-MMA fans, because a lot of the fans that people end up digging from, unless they get lucky, get on a pay-per-view or get watched by somebody's aunt's nephew and they become a fan or something like that, the wrestling world's a great way to gain a lot of those casual MMA fans onto your side. So to see ATT doing as much as they are in the wrestling world, I feel like it's going to do nothing but help every athlete that they bring in, as long as they look good enough, take it. I don't even think they necessarily have to look good if they do any performance or anything. They just have to take it semi-serious is the thing.
Yeah. Well, JDS, I think, said it perfect, bro. Like I'm not just saying it because I'm an MMA fan. I mean, I was a wrestling fan before I was an MMA fan. I mean, JDS had a legitimately good debut. I mean, did his punches look a little weird? Sure. But you got to imagine with the guy, you know, getting used to like not killing motherfuckers. I mean that would be a little bit to get used to for a guy that used to knock guys out in the UFC. But that being said, I mean, he went all for it. He got put through a table in his first match. So, I mean, I think they're going to build it up somehow to him and Hager will end up fighting. I think it'd be funny if JDS ended up in Bellator and him and Hager fought. But if they did that, I think Hager would be, I mean, even though, like I said, I like wrestling, I think Hager would be taking an ass whipping in that fight. But
there'd be a hell of a way to make the wrestling spin turn all the way around and end up being in a real MMA match between the two of them. That would be awesome.
Well, think about it. King Mo's done that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. As a non-MMA or a non, you know, wrestling hardcore and as an MMA hardcore, I would have to follow the storyline on that one to see how that turned out. That'd be an interesting one.
Well, I mean, you mentioned ATT, dude. I mean, Colby Covington at one time was out there with King Mo and all them when Lashley was still an Impact, dude. So, I mean, ATT and Dan Lambert. I mean, Dan Lambert's probably got one of the best wrestling belt collections in the world. Like, the guy said that he one time spent $30,000 on one of the belts that he's got. So, if you ever go, like, that guy's literally got, like, all the old school belts. So, before I let you get out of here, man, I guess the last question that we got to ask, man, is we got a big fight coming this weekend. I got to know, what are your thoughts on it? You know, I know on the show that you do, you guys talk betting odds and all those good things. So how are you feeling about the UFC this weekend? Who do you got coming out winning? Do you got Sanhagen? Do you got, you know, who are we going with?
Dude, I don't know. I'm sitting here debating it still. As far as the main event goes, I think it's going to be a tough one. I think Jan's going to pull it out. I think he's just too good. But then again, Glover's like, he's been showing that he is durable. He's built, like, he's going to go in and you're not going to knock him out easy. Like, you saw that in the Santos fight, like, where he got stumbled and he still fought through it. If I was a betting man, which I am, I would go ahead and put money on Jan for sure. Sanhagen and Peter Jan, dude, I don't think anyone's going to beat Peter. I think he's so freaking good, but you, like, with this game, you never know. You never know. Like, those gloves are so small. There's a huge difference if your mouth is open a little bit and you're not clenching your jaw. So I'm always going to go. I'm going to go with Peter on this one for sure, just because I love his style. I love the way he fights and everything. And that's where I'll go with him for sure.
J-Bone, sorry, man. I know I got to you too quick, but, man, see, that's why they pay me the big bucks. Well, not really pay me the big bucks, but, you know, see, I got them brains upstairs. I see you down there. Make sure you check out the J-Bone show if you're a hip-hop fan. Check out what he's got over there in the mix and shit. Also, before I forget about it, tomorrow, Wednesday, Ferndale, Mega Ran is in the motherfucking building. So if you guys are going to be at the concert, be on the lookout. You might just see a familiar face, and make sure you check out his new joint that just dropped everywhere you can get music, all that good stuff. Josh, like I said, I'm going to have to send that to you after the show because I know you being a hip-hop guy. There's a few joints on there that were hard. Like, he did one about the faces of Fear, Ming and Barbarian, that was pretty hard. And then he did, like, a lot of it's based off of, like, Live 95. It's called Live 95. Like, so there's a lot of basketball-inspired stuff, but the whole thing, like I said, and I'm not just saying it because he's the homie, shit was dope. Cover to cover, it was some bangers. Like UFC is about to be this motherfucking weekend. Hey, man, I don't know. I agree with everything you said, but here's my thing. I never have been able to really mess with Peter Jan like that, though. I mean, even before the whole thing with Sterling happened, and I mean, Lord knows Sterling's got no love lost for us because he thought we tried to get him on the show when he was fighting our buddy Cody Stamen, and that didn't go very well. But like I said, as a fighter, though, dude, I'm a fan of the dude, but I just never really have been able to mess with Petr Jan. I hope Corey Sanhagen wins this one because I'm a fan of that dude. That dude just gets in there and bangs. So I would love to see Sanhagen get him a big win like that. But you having to bounce back yourself, I mean, what are your thoughts on Dan Hooker versus Makhachev, bro?
Dan Hooker is going to go out there and beat the piss out of him. I am so excited.
Yes.
I love Dan.
Yes.
Dan Hooker is the man, and I hope that when I get to the UFC, I get to meet that dude, because I think having some beers with him would be fun as hell. He's a scrapper. I love when he goes out and fights, dude. He goes out to scrap, and how can you not be a fan of that guy?
I can't argue that at all. That's the clip, dude. Once the fights get coming, dude, we'll definitely have it out there. And Kathy coming through in the comments, Team Hooker. Hey, get you a twisted tumbler. Get you a twisted tumbler. Ain't them things dope, man? She even hooked us up with the my nephew's already got one, man. The whole family's hooked up at this point. Like I say, man, get you a twisted tumbler.
They're amazing.
Hey, and check out Dive Bar Nutrition while you're at it. I'm not lying. Them protein bars are like crack, bro. I've been eating one before I go to the gym and shit.
any of your lovely sponsors you'd like to shout out there, Josh?
Please do.
Yeah, man. I definitely will start from the top. I want to give a huge shout out to a company that not only did I work for when I was in college. I was my first day, I was picking up bricks all day like a laborer. But Eddie Homes, it's a home construction company back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They've been supporting me since I was an amateur. I see that hat.
I did my research, and I'm like, I'm a hat collector. I'm like, I try to have everybody's hometown hat. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
I find something close.
You had Dave LaGreca questioning your choice with that Mets hat, man. Hell, maybe we'll have to try to get Dave back on here. Did you hear that he's Did you hear that he's going back to Texas to fight Thunder Rosa again?
No.
I think he's off his fucking meds, dude. I'm just saying. I think he's off his meds. I think he might have bit off more than he can chew. But damn it, Dave, we got you. You're in your corner. If you die, I promise I'll send something to the GoFundMe. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eddie Holmes, they've been with me from the jump. Appreciate those guys. Love those guys. Armina Stone is a company out of Pittsburgh as well. They work hand in hand with Eddie Holmes. Very good people, great people. On the money, on the Mark Investments, this was my first time linking up with those guys. Love Mark. He's a great guy, doing his thing, grinding daily. My weed sponsor, Legal, out here in Denver, Colorado. Only clean, green, certified cannabis in Denver. Go ahead. I'm telling you, there's a huge difference when it comes to having clean weed and just the regular weed that you get from a dispensary. Huge difference. So anytime you can get a green certified weed, go get that.
I like it. I like it, man. But I know you've got some business to attend to on the inside. So I appreciate you coming to mess with us again, man. And like I said, we've been watching you for a minute now. We're glad to be in the corner, man. Glad to see you back in the win column. And we're going to have to see if these picks are right. I mean, J-Bone's dropping it in the comments. He says Hooker, Sanhagen, and Blachowicz is the parlay to play. So, I mean, we're going to have to see. Maybe that's the way to go. But we do know that next time you get in the cage, we already know which way we're rocking, and it's with Josh Fremd. So we appreciate you, brother, man.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on here again. Always fun shooting the shit with you boys.
Hey, man, that's what we do out here. We shoot the shit, run our mouths, flap our gums, you know. We try to make it fun out here.
Always greatly appreciate the time, man. I can't wait to see what the future endeavors bring, man. I feel like you're right on the cusp, if not already there. So,
appreciate for real, that.
Best of luck.
Hey, man, when I get out to Colorado, or if we're in the same town in Pittsburgh, because, you know, past guests of the show, you know, Sam Adonis and Ray Lynn are out of Pittsburgh. You know, after I stop by Graham's barbershop out there and let her fade me up real quick, if we're ever in Pittsburgh or one of these cities, dude, we'll definitely have to link up. I might have to check you out on all those things you was just talking about.
Hey, doesn't matter if I'm in Denver, if I'm in Pittsburgh, I always got that Lau pack on me. You come through, I'll show you a great time.
Love it.
Well, until the next one, brother man, enjoy yourself. Be safe.
Have a good one, guys.
Later.
Later. Yes,
all right. Well, Josh Fremd, ladies and gents, people in the comments, if you got any thoughts about the interview, I would like to hear them. But we are not done yet, because if you guys are wrestling fans, you know that there was a lot of wrestling to talk about here. So we are going to get to that in a second, now that I've gotten my screens fixed and all those good things. We got some wrestling to talk about. There was a lot of wrestling that went down, and some pretty big things that went down. I mean, obviously, we had Crown Jewel on Thursday. The big news out of that was, I think most of us were surprised, at least I was, by the fact. I honestly thought Paul Heyman was just going to go back with Brock Lesnar, but, I mean, he threw the belt in and said, you know what to do. Roman Reigns had the Usos come out, and now it's progressed to where Brock Lesnar is now indefinitely suspended because he did what we all wanted to do and kicked the shit out of his boss so bad that he ripped the man's pants off. Like, I mean, come on, bro. Like, and I'm not saying like ripped his pants off, like when, you know, you can see the split. Like, he threw the man around so hard that it ripped the seams up his suit. Like,
is this, I ask you, Kyle, because I feel like this is kind of the perfect way to set the domino in that direction, I guess you could say. Is this their way of having Brock Lesnar come in, do a big splash for him for their Crown Jewel card, and then doing this big explosion where he garners attention and everything like that, and then he gets to do what Brock Lesnar always does and only appears the four times a year?
No, because...
Is that his way of disappearing into the night for a minute, or is are we going to see?
No, I think week? With Survivor Series, because here's the thing. With Survivor Series coming up, you've got Roman Reigns versus, it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Big E or whoever has the championship, because most of the champions are going to face each other. So, in my opinion, this is just a way to kind of get you through Survivor Series, sort of, because Survivor Series is still one of the big pay-per-views, but it's a way to get you through Survivor Series and have him quote-unquote suspended, because Brock Lesnar already showed he didn't give a shit, because after he suspended him, he comes out, F5s the guy, picks him up, and, like, leans down all close to him and knocks the mic off his mouth. Can you say that again for me? I can't hear you. Like, I wish I could... You know, I almost did get in a fight with my boss one time, but that's another story for another time. But like I said, I've said it right along. J-Bone, if you're in the comments, I want to know what you got to say on this shit. Like I said, man, the Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman thing has truly been one of the best things that has been going on in wrestling. As far as singular storylines, it's been great. And now when you think about all the other things that can be added to it, when you think of, you know, Jimmy Uso's wife, Naomi, adding a female member to the bloodline. And Paul Heyman's already been asked about that. And he said, how do you know that she's not already behind the scenes? You know, and so, yeah. Like, there's so many layers to where this can go. And all this to be said with the fact that Brock Lesnar, and it show, if anything, this whole thing shows how much of a pro Brock Lesnar is. Because, okay, Brock Lesnar lost, but the way he lost, they kept him strong, and then he comes back out and still comes back looking like the killer because he beats the shit out of everybody. Like, he came down to the ring, called them out, whooped Roman Reigns' ass, whipped his cousin's ass. They sent the locker room out to fight him. I forgot who it was. He kneed the man in the gut so high he looked like he flew like the back of a damn superhero cape. He's throwing cameras at the corner, and like, he was tearing shit up, dude. And then a couple segments later, Adam Pearce, who, for those who don't know, he's a former NWA champion too. He's not just a suit who was, you know, authority figure, but I mean, dude, he come out there and Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of him too. So I think this is going to go to WrestleMania, dude. I mean, Brock Lesnar versus him at WrestleMania, I could either there, or, you know, you've got to realize, so we're in November, you got the Royal Rumble coming in January. That could be a perfect match for the Royal Rumble. You know, it's gonna, like, be interesting. J-Bone, that's what about. I'm here, homies. I'm okay if Brock disappears until the Rumble, hoping they don't do champ versus champ at Survivor Series. Let's do 4-on-4. They're gonna do both, but you gotta do champ versus champ, especially with what happened with the Charlotte versus Becky thing, which we gotta talk about the quote unquote backstage issues there too. So, Corey, what were you gonna say with your thoughts on the Lesnar thing?
Well, you brought up Royal Rumble and you thought it would. You said Royal Rumble would be a good showcase, and I feel like they kind of have their crown of the night, which is, of course, the Rumble being the main event. So I feel like right. That would kind of not necessarily be the showcase for it. I could see them pushing it to maybe a WrestleMania and just continuing to build the story from here till then. But I feel like that's a long turnaround. So I don't know. It may be sometime in between.
Well, the reason I say Rumble is because it's only 2 months away. And the other thing is, Rumble is arguably the second biggest show of the year. So, and on the Rumble, when you usually look at a Royal Rumble card, like, yeah, like you said, the main event is the Royal Rumble match. But because of that, you only usually have like 3, maybe 4 other matches on a card. So if you have a world title match on that card, there also might be the same sense that you're able to maybe get a little bit more time because of, you know, because of there not being as many matches. But then again, it's Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns we're talking about. Not that I don't think Brock Lesnar has the stamina to be able to, you know, go for that long. At the same time, I don't think you need him to go that long. So I think if you put a match like that on the Royal Rumble and then build it up with the great story like they have been and add more twists and turns in between there, I mean, dude, if you give that another 2 months to kind of marinate and then get it to Royal Rumble, I mean, and then let's just say hypothetically, you know, I really think The Rock, if The Rock does come back, I think it's going to be, you know, next year's WrestleMania most likely, but not Texas, but in LA. But if it is, if let's just say hypothetically it is Texas, think about that. If you have this go till January for the Royal Rumble and continue to just build this juggernaut for them, that is, you know, Brock Lesnar, then he's in the perfect spot to fight, you know, The Rock, if that ends up being the route it goes. Now, to say that, I there's nothing that says that that's going to happen this year. I'm just saying, if we're thinking as far as a long-term way to go, you know what I mean? I could see that being a way to play out.
While we're on the topic of Brock, before we switch over, what's your thoughts on his new look, new outfit?
I'm not mad at it. It's a little weird seeing the ponytail, but at the same time, I feel like it's a lot more... I also feel like Brock looks a lot more like he's just having fun, though. And I think because of that, you're seeing a lot more explosion from Brock. Like, you got to realize that match he had on Thursday, that's the first match he's had in two fucking years.
Mm-hmm. And to look the level that he still does and did
that's what I'm saying. And that match was really good.
To your point of the whole, like, looking freer type thing, from everything I've seen of the match, that's exactly how I would kind of describe it, is he really did present himself as a less, I don't want to say gimmicky character, because he wasn't a gimmick.
He came out there less like a killer, but I mean,
he didn't used to play. I'm saying what he used to be, right? He used to be a big, bad brawler, right? He wasn't necessarily playing a gimmick, because that is who he was at that time. And I feel like we're starting to actually see more of Brock Lesnar, the person. In his portrayal of both his character and his actual ring attire,
To expand off of what you're saying, like, in a lot of ways, I think the biggest difference you're seeing now, you got to realize, I mean, Brock Lesnar has been around. He was 18 or 21. I can't remember off the top of my head when he came into the WWE. I mean, he was NCAA champion wrestler. So I wouldn't necessarily say brawler for when he first came in, but he's a lot more just raw explosion, though. He was just manhandling dudes back then, because he always had the athleticism and things. But that being said, I think what you're seeing now is, like, Brock Lesnar doesn't talk a lot now. But if you notice, every time Brock talks now, you shut up and listen, because he's making the most out of everything that he says. Like, if you look at the build up to the match with Roman on Thursday, I mean, he only spoke two times, but look what he said the two times he spoke. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know, when they brought up the, you know, how is Brock Lesnar able to just come to SmackDown? Well, I'm able to come to SmackDown because my advocate, Paul Heyman, worked it out to where I'm a free agent. There's number one. Then you get to the contract signing and you got Roman. You just must be some big dumbass, some big country dumbass. You just sign things and don't even read the contract. And he stops and all he says, Roman, I read it this morning with my advocate, Paul Heyman. You don't need to say nothing else. And look what he did. He built up the tension and the intrigue. Oh, shit. Is Paul Heyman going to screw Roman Reigns and, you know, go back with Brock Lesnar, or what's going to happen? And see, that's the thing. That's what buys people in to wanting to see it. J-Bone, I see you in the comments. Would you guys be good with Brock and Roman with Survivor Series team? Could prolong the feud. Also, is Rollins versus Big E going to be at Survivor Series? I missed Raw last night.
To answer your question, J-Bone, I think it would be entertaining. I don't think they would do it, though, because especially I feel like that's a lot of the direction AEW's kind of been doing with, like, the Jericho faction and, like, even...
But Survivor Series is only a one-night thing. He's saying that that's a tradition. That's why he's saying
it. Yeah.
And you got to remember, I think... I disagree with you, and here's why. Because you got to remember... Roman already has two or three of the four on his team. You only got to add, or it's 5-on-5. So you already got three of the five as it is. So you would only have to, like, and then you could just add a tag team or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if that's what you're going to do, you that's add another tag team or whatever. So in that sense, I could see it, but I don't think with these guys though, you can, that you will see that. Necessarily. That's why, like I said, I think it'll kind of be Survivor Series would be a good pause. because if they do what it looks like is supposed to happen, because even, and that'll lead us into what we got to talk about and the title swap between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. That it looks like they're going the route of champion versus champion, which if they're doing that, it'll be, you know, Roman versus Big E. So I think it's going to be more that route. And I think it's a good thing because it can give a good pause to the Brock Lesnar thing. But I could definitely see that being an option for a route, though, for sure.
I feel like that would be a misstep for somebody like Brock, because like you had alluded, he's been in wrestling for this long, and 90%+ of his career, he's been not necessarily a solo, cause he had Paul Heyman as his manager in the background, but he was more of a, I am Brock Lesnar. I don't need a posse with me or nobody to run with me. I am myself and I'm a force. So I feel like if they did like a whole team thing with him, it would just kind of, it'd be weird unless you got a bunch of new guys or something along those lines.
And I mean, we all know Brock's a loner too. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't think with these guys in particular, I could see it, but I could totally see Roman being in something like that with the Usos beside him. Definitely, I just don't know that it's the one for like a Brock Lesnar type thing, but that brings us to the other big thing that we got to talk about on the WWE end. And J-Bone and anybody that's checking it out, I want to know what you guys think. Let me know in the comments. We'll definitely talk about it. But we had the title swap between Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. Now, we know that Charlotte Flair was drafted to SmackDown. Becky Lynch was drafted to Raw. Becky Lynch retained the SmackDown title at Crown Jewel, and Charlotte was still the Raw champion. So that led us to SmackDown, where you had both champions were called out. You had... You had the title swap for them, and it's, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. So I was not a fan of the idea of a title swap. But I, with the real life drama that's going on in the back, I don't got a problem with it, because they both got pissed, kind of squared off each other and just Becky whipped the belt at her, you know, and said, you know, whichever one of you guys wins, I'll see you at Survivor Series. Like I said, man, it's J-Bone. I'd like to know what you think, man, with the title swap, because it was a little weird with, throwing the belts back and forth, but at the same time, we know that it's been reported that there's a lot of backstage heat between the two. They were best friends at one point, and it's also been reported, and again, this is all hearsay, but Becky, you know, Charlotte didn't want to do all the media and all that stuff, while Becky was over here wanting, you know, the opportunity to be like that top dog spot. But then again, if we're being honest, and I mean, Becky's been gone for a little bit because she had the baby and things. But that being said, in that time, and even before that, I mean, we've spoke about it multiple times on this show. Charlotte is one of the best in that company, male or female, period. Like, as far as an overall performer, an athlete, all that, there's not even an argument to be had. And there's been a lot of speculation to, is she trying to get herself released so that she can, you know, go do other stuff. I don't think that that's necessarily the case, but at the same time, though, I could see where there's a lot of frustration on her end, being that, especially on Raw for a long time, it was kind of like we noted with the Queen's Crown, which we got to talk about briefly, the coronation of King X and Queen Zelina. But,
not to jump in, but I feel like since we're on the point, what's the chances that she heard old Ric Flair having all his fun jumping all over the place and said, you know, maybe I do want to join and just be able to represent myself in a multitude of fashions.
Well, her fiance is in AEW. That's why Flair was in Mexico. He walked her fiance out to the ring who Andrade that used to be with WWE. So, I mean, there's def and on Friday while SmackDown was on, Andrade is out here tweeting FU WWE. So, I mean, like I said, it's
maybe there's, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's some validation to some of these claims. I mean, it would be a little far fetched because I feel like she's done a great job of building up her name and character. And from everything I've heard from fans of, the people that still are pretty heavy diehards into WWE, which it seems to be getting rarer and rarer, that's one of their shining lights is Charlotte and what she's been able to do. So it would be surprising to see the move, I guess, but some of those dots may be kind of connected in that way. I mean,
if you could just get out, sure, but it all depends on how many years she's got on her contract. And let me tell you, if there was ever somebody that WWE is going to do everything in their power to make sure that person can't leave and go to AEW, I would imagine it would be Charlotte. But that being said, if that ever did happen, I mean, shit, for her to show up, you know, for her to show up on AEW, that would be about the best case scenario for AEW because it would be an automatic injection to their women's division. Yeah. And somebody that, whether you're a WWE fan, an AEW fan, an NWA fan, you know who the fuck Charlotte Flair is.
Yeah. Anybody that carries that last name. I mean,
and the thing is, people, and that's another thing I want to talk about. J-Bone coming in the comments. Titles shouldn't be swapped ever. They could have done anything. That's lazy, if you ask me. Could have given the Queen's Crown winner a shot. I just think it takes away from the titles themselves. I agree with that. Yeah. For me, I think, to be honest, and there's also been rumor about that Charlotte wanted to, lose the belt to Bianca. I think that would have been perfect. If she'd have lost to Bianca, lost the Raw title to Bianca and then went to SmackDown or whatever, like I would have had no problem with that. Bianca Belair is one of their next big stars. And honestly, if we're being honest, is one of the big stars of the pandemic for WWE. So if that's what you were going to do, there's not really a better new star for you to have done that with. So I've got no problem with that suggestion because I honestly would have been okay with that myself. But I mean, you mentioned the Queen's Crown, J-Bone. You know, we saw the coronation of Queen Zelina. I think she's the perfect person. I said on the show, I think she would, out of the ones who were in there, she's the perfect person to have the Queen's Crown. I liked what we saw out of the coronation, and I hope that, they'll really give her a chance to run with it. Because like we said all through the tournament, a lot of the women's matches weren't getting the time, which is why I feel like, you know, doing things like that could really help their women's division because they clearly didn't get the time with Queen's Crown. But Zelina as Queen, I think, is going to be great. And then on the men's side, you had King Xavier, which that really had the full feel-good story in it because Xavier Woods, you know, they did a lot. I think they did a really good job in the lead up of showing like King of the Ring was one of his favorite things on bucket lists that he could do. He always wanted to do the King of the Ring. So I really hope they let him expand on it and let him really like play the King gimmick up, because I think he would really do something good with it. Past guest of the show, King Booker. And hey, you can check out our show with Stevie Ray as well. But like I said, Xavier Woods is the perfect person to do that with King of the Ring. So the coronation was dope. I just am more, I guess, interested at this point to see where we end up going with it. But that being said, man, we've said this for, I feel like it's a running theme with what we've talked about with wrestling as a whole. I mean, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan right now. There were a lot of things on Raw last night that I wasn't the biggest fan of, but at the same time, that's what's good about there being so many products. So before I let you guys go for tonight, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up some of the things that went down on the other side of that coin, the AEW coin. And first of all, MJF, I say this all the time. He's the best fucking heel in wrestling. I don't give a shit who you want to put against it, he is the best heel in wrestling. And what they're doing with him and Darby right now, I just feel like is, I just think that that's fire. They had Sting out there kind of talking to give everybody an update about Darby, and then MJF and Wardlow jump Sting and shit. Like I said, dude, MJF is one of the best in the game. So for those of you guys who are watching, if you guys are wrestling fans, J-Bone, if you're still in here, what are your thoughts on MJF versus Darby? I feel like with what they've shown in the vignettes we saw with Darby, like they're going to do some cool shit with this. And the other cool thing with AEW is them having longer in between their pay-per-views, because there's usually like a 3 to 4 month gap. I think the next pay-per-view is Full Gear at the end of November, so you've got a few weeks to go. I feel like that's going to be something that's fire. But before we get into Cody versus Malakai Black, did you get to look at that moonsault I told you?
No, I did not.
Holy shit. Thank God he's okay. Lance Archer, you've seen Lance Archer. Yeah. Lance Archer is a big son of a bitch. And he got on the top rope and did a moonsault and under rotated and smoked his forehead off the ground, off the mat. Oh my God.
Ouch.
Like, dude, like, can you can envision what I'm saying here, right? So yeah, he under rotated and yeah, dude, like he like face planted himself on the way around. And think about all that weight coming down on yourself.
Ow. Because he's not a small
He said man. He's okay. He's just sore. Oh my God, though. Jesus.
That's not the type of person you want to see take falls like that. That's for sure.
You don't want to see anybody do that, but no. Oh my God, dude. Somebody you just immediately stopped and you're immediately thinking, oh my God. Oh my God, don't let his neck be broke. Because, dude, you knew he was hurt. Like, all the physicians were like, immediately by the apron, like I said, dude, that was holy shit. It was wild, and it was a brawl as it was, because he was going against Eddie Kingston. It was part of the AEW World Title Tournament, which is gonna culminate at Full Gear. Which, hey, Full Gear, we got to do a lot of cool interviews at Full Gear. You know, like the one with Hangman Page and Excalibur, and there's a lot of them from when we were in Baltimore. So, hey, when you get done with the show, you can go check those out too. But before we get off of AEW, AEW had the culmination of what's been going on with this with Cody and Malakai Black. They had a great match, dude. They had a great match, man, but I don't understand what's up with the crowd right now. In my opinion, Cody is like the ultimate white meat baby face, but dude, even in AEW, his own company, it just seems like the crowd is shitting all over him. J-Bone, if you're still in here, dude, why do you think they're shitting on Cody, bro?
From an outsider's perspective, I don't even understand it, to be honest with you. Like when I first started, even when we had noted about him on the show and stuff, I was like, I kind of didn't understand like the whole American hero gimmick while he looked like German superstar, you know?
Well, the blonde hair is because of his dad, you know?
Yeah. But with that being said, I feel like when I first started, like when we first started very much covering AEW as like a regular topic, and I started doing research on AEW, and I started watching some AEW to be able to cover it on the show and such, I feel like he was starting to make less appearances, but he was still very popular and in fan favor every time he would. So I don't know if it's just the fact that fans are being kind of fair weather to him, or if they just like the insertion of, like you said, the Malakai Black thing. I don't know if they're just kind of liking what he's bringing to the table, so they're willing to shit on Cody Rhodes to like see the continued climb of that. I don't know, but it's very surprising from an outward perspective, for sure.
The only thing that makes any sense to me is I feel like a lot of AEW fans feel like Cody is shoved down their throat because he's an EVP and all that stuff. But I mean, if you can't respect Cody Rhodes for, like, you got to realize Cody Rhodes left the WWE, went on that big indie tour, which basically turned into him getting to Ring of Honor and then culminating into All In, which then later turned into AEW. I mean, if there's ever somebody who should be celebrated for the shit that he did in wrestling. Now, let's not forget Tony Khan and the Young Bucks who and Kenny Omega, who were all part of that too. But I mean, let's be honest. If the Young Bucks were a big name to hardcore wrestling fans, but when you put Cody with them and then you had them as a unit, dude, like that made automatic, you know, thing. And then the thing is, like, okay, so the guy's got his own TV show telling about his life, but how is that any different than what we saw with Total Bellas in WWE or the Total Divas thing or whatever? I mean, I just feel like he gets a bad rap just because I think with him being, you know, in management, I think that maybe that has something to do with it. But as far as the match that he had on Saturday with Malakai Black, bro, they had a great match. And that's the thing. There was color in it. They beat the shit out of each other. You know, I feel like they gave ending to it. You know, I don't know, dude. To me, I feel like he's kind of getting a little bit of a bad rap. But Andrade came out. Andrade came out, and so did Pac. Like I said, they beat the shit out of the Lucha Brothers, and then Pac's coming out to make the save. I'm really liking what we're seeing with the storytelling over there and how it's all being interwoven, as we saw last week with FTR being the world's whitest luchadors. Showing out and coming and getting the AAA straps off of the Lucha Brothers. I'm interested to see how that all plays itself out. J-Bone, I love you in the comments. I think they're just bored with him. We've seen his face from the start of AEW and kind of with mediocre rivalries. Plus, Black is big time over. Oh, I agree. And the idea of him versus Pac, shit, dude. Him versus Pac is going to be money. I don't care. Dude, Corey knows. Corey's not even a wrestling guy. Pac versus Malakai Black is going to be fire. Because between the two of them, they're both athletic as shit. And then the storytelling that can be told. I mean, dude, in my opinion, that is going to be absolute fire. And then the last thing that I wanted to touch on when it comes to AEW, we talked about it a little bit earlier with Josh Fremd. You had the Inner Circle versus ATT that's coming up. And, if Sammy, faces Ethan Page for the title, the stipulation is, Sammy gets the pick, for who's in the match. So what that entails is, since ATT didn't want to do the match again, because we noted on they had that match that was JDS's debut. The stipulation made by Dan Lambert was that if the only way they could do that is if Sammy Guevara gave Ethan Page a shot at the TNT title. But in return, Sammy Guevara said, okay, that's fine, but then I get to pick who's in the match when we do the 5-on-5 or whatever it ends up being. Okay. So like I said, it adds intrigue. And I think that's the thing that makes stories good. Well, J-Bone, since I know you're in the comments, bro, Corey, while you give your last thoughts, is anybody else I know going to Cheapy Creepy this weekend? This son of a bitch is pulling me out to a Halloween party. Tyler, ooh, if you watch this, you already know what's good with it. We got to link up. J-Bone, what are you being for Cheapy Creepy, damn it? And Corey, go ahead and give your thoughts on the last talking point we just talked about.
Refresh my memory on the last topic real quick so I can.
So we were talking about the thing with Cody and Black and how you had Pac versus you're going to have Pac versus no, the what
very,
it looks like.
The very closing, the very last part of it.
Now I'm confused.
All right. Well, either way, I did have some closing thoughts because we weren't able to touch on as much in the UFC. I just want to highlight Mason Jones and the debuting fighter, David Onama. Watch out for David Onama. He lost his O. He was 8-0. Now is 8-1. But facing a Mason Jones in a weight class up in his debut fight And in my eyes, should have been fight of the night. I know they gave fight of the night, I believe, to the Alex Caceres fight, which was also a banger. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like this one deserved it, and it deserved a highlight as my thought of the week, I guess, while we close this Tuesday show, because that was a wild fight. And for anybody who may have missed that one on the latest, I believe it was the second to last fight on the prelims, do yourself a favor and go watch that. For a debuting fighter on 2 or 3 days' notice, he could not have showcased himself any better. So I'm very excited for what David Onama brings to the featherweight division once he makes his actual debut.
All right, he said his costume's going to be Jam Master Jay. It's going to be a great time, bro. Grandmaster Jay Bone, just make sure y'all don't leave before I get to the crib, because I ain't trying to roll up in that bitch solo. But like I said, it's going to be a good time. I haven't been to a Halloween party in a couple years. I don't even know what the hell I'm going to be, because I thought that the theme of this whole thing is supposed to be it's like cheap Halloween costumes. So I'm going to have to get with you and put some thought into what I'm going to wear to this cheapy, creepy thing. And hey, it's all the more reason you need to follow us at KO3C Pod, because then maybe I'll post a picture and let you see what I wore. Hey, Corey, you remember the time that we dressed up as cheerleaders?
Yes, I do. And I get reminded by my family every year. I am a lovely Halloween baby for all the viewers out there. I am just 2 days before Halloween. And
that's why you got to get them orders for them shirts in the 29th. We dropping that new shirt. Get you yours. Yes.
For anyone who may have forgot or missed the post or anything like that, shirts, final order on my birthday. Do me a birthday solid. Buy a shirt for yourself. I mean, you don't have to buy it for me. Buy it for yourself. But, you know, support the show. But every single year, I get reminded of that lovely year me and two of my friends decided, why not dress up as cheerleaders?
Can I just say that from my end, the number one takeaway that I took away from that was, number one, because you had such long hair, you actually looked like a girl. And second of all, I've come to the conclusion that I like, for you women that wear skirts, first of all, hallelujah, I appreciate it as a male, but fuck that. That was not a good time.
That was not a good time,
and none of us accounted for that at all.
Anyone who may have tried to look up that cheerleader's dress, you may have found a girl that night. Honestly, it was that cold that the night you decided to wear.
I remember that like vividly, just like, oh my god, this was a really stupid idea.
What a perfect thing to wrap on. For anybody, we're going to do a good recap of all things wrestling in the pay-per-view in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island this weekend, come Thursday. So please come join us as well on Thursday, and make sure you light up that comment section. And if you're not subscribed, you better be.
Yeah, man. Shout out to all of you guys. We had that big jump on 100+ downloads today on the podcast, all that good stuff. So, yeah, shout out to past guest of the show, Chris Kale. Shout out to Keith K.O. Kid Barry, seeing our stuff with past guest of the show, Angelo Popovsky. So, like Corey said, you know, I kind of got something up my sleeve if everything goes well for Thursday. A blast from my past, and maybe a story about how I saved somebody from throwing a lawnmower through somebody's window. So all the more reason that you got to make sure you're here on Thursday, because if not, maybe this guy might have been in jail. But then again, he also congratulated me when I beat up a guy in the Navy. So there's plenty of stories to talk about. So that's why you got to be here next Thursday, 9 p.m.
If you guys are looking for something to watch after, since we are doing our wrap, and since the lovely J-Bone helps us keep this show extra entertaining every week, whether he is on or not, go check out the J-Bone Show. Shout out J-Bo.
Yeah, dude. Check out the J-Bone Show. And check out that show with Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch. Until next time and in the in-between time. I'm a little bit off today, but hey, it's time to sign off, so we're good. Peace.
Peace.